Part 3. Fifth Year. Harry trudged up the steps of Hogwarts and made his way to the Great Hall. Surprisingly, Dumbledore was sitting at one of the long tables, staring off into space. Harry put his pack down. "Is everything all right, Albus?" Dumbledore blinked and then nodded. "Oh yes, fine. Were you successful with your search?" Harry sat down and let out a long, slow breath. "No, I suspect I'm out of options. I've looked everywhere I can think of, and everywhere Severus came up with as well." "Severus?" There was a note of something in Dumbledore's voice that he was not sure he appreciated. "He wanted to help. He's actually a brilliant and methodical researcher. And Severus had found two possible time devices that might have worked. Unfortunately, Harry couldn't locate either of them. As much as he hated to admit defeat, he was sure this was his last summer of looking for something he just couldn't find." "That doesn't surprise me," Dumbledore sighed. "I've invited him to be a prefect this coming year. I'm hoping it will help him develop some social skills to go along with his intellect." "Are you sure that's a good idea?" It wasn't that he didn't think Severus could do the tasks, but there would also be the temptation to abuse his authority. And Severus wasn't known for resisting temptations. "As you are his greatest champion, I thought you'd be pleased." "I am, really. But I know how difficult he can be, and I'm not sure he'd resist the urge to misuse his power. Don't look at me like that. Just because I like him doesn't mean I don't see his flaws. He's as loyal as any Hufflepuff." "With people he likes, that would be you and Lily Evans, and possibly Regulus Black, though I'm not sure about that." There was something else in Dumbledore's tone. Harry couldn't guess what it was. Even after knowing Dumbledore as an adult, he was almost as much of an enigma as he'd been when Harry had been a child. "Regulus Black is headed down a dangerous path, and I truly hope I can talk Severus out of following him down it." Harry actually knew very little about Regulus, and what he'd seen had not endeared him to Harry. At least Severus wasn't actively associating with the Death Eater children in Slytherin. Harry was aware there were a number in Ravenclaw as well, but those seemed less politically active. Or perhaps politics wasn't first on their agenda. "Ultimately, it's not going to be your choice," Dumbledore said. "No, it's not. But if I can influence him in the right direction, then I will." Now that he knew he'd be staying, it was more than time to make a commitment. "When is the next order meeting?" "Next week. There have been several more deaths of high-profile purebloods, as well as a few muggleborns." Dumbledore's brow creased. "And a fairly insignificant seer, Sybil Trelawney. I'm not sure what her death was supposed to accomplish." Harry's pulse started to pound. Trelawney? If she were dead, there would be no prophecy for Snape to overhear and take back to Voldemort. This place wasn't just earlier on his timeline. It wasn't even in his world. Even though he'd known there was almost no hope that he'd find his way home, knowing it absolutely was like hitting the ground after falling from a broom moving at top speed. "Harry? Harry, are you all right?" Dumbledore's voice sounded very far away. Harry blinked several times, trying to focus. "I'm fine," he lied. "You don't look fine. You looked as you did when you popped in and ended up at my feet. What just happened?" Hoping to clear his head, Harry took a deep breath and then a second one. What did it matter now? This was his time, and if he could help them better than he had been, then he should, even if it meant facing Voldemort again. "Why don't we start with what upset you?" Harry put his head in his hands. "In my time, Sybil Trelawney delivered a prophecy that had a significant impact on my life. She can't do it if she's dead." Dumbledore pushed his glasses up onto his nose and frowned. Perhaps she's already made it. Unlikely. You heard it given, and it should have been years from now. What did it say? He asked, his frown deepening. Harry drew in a deep breath and squared his shoulders. It said that I would defeat Voldemort, or that Voldemort would defeat me. And did you? Years after the prophecy, but yes. Can you do it again? Defeat him, I mean. I had a lot of help then. Harry didn't think about Ron and Hermione as much as he had when he'd first got here, but he missed them fiercely right now. It didn't seem possible he'd be able to do it again without them. You do know about the Horcruxes, correct? Yes, but I only recently found out about them. I haven't even started to research what he used. Dumbledore looked hopefully at him. Do you know? I know what they were in my world, and possibly how to find them. I'm not as sure about this time and place. He was committed to this version of the Wizarding World, even if it meant giving up any chance of going home. Not that he had any chance of getting back to his own timeline at this point, not after more than 5 years. But if he did, it wouldn't matter. Everything would have changed. Everyone would have moved on. No. He had to accept the fact that what he remembered was gone. But there was still the paradox of him being born here in 1980. That was less than 5 years away. We'll operate under the assumption that the Horcruxes are the same, and we should inform the Order, Dumbledore said, pulling Harry out of his thoughts and reminding him of something else. Peter would be part of the Order in 2 years. And if there were one traitor, then there could be more than one. Perhaps it wouldn't be a good idea to tell all of them. Dumbledore gave him a pointed look. Do you know something about any of the members? No, but it's possible I know something about a future member. Harry wasn't going to accuse Peter yet. Maybe in this time he didn't sell out his friends. I will need help tracking the Horcruxes down. You'll have it. Dumbledore was silent for a moment. We'll have a meeting after school starts. And speaking of school starting, are you paying for Severus Snape's robes and books this year? Harry was never sure if he approved or not, but he asked every year. Trying to fight his annoyance, Harry said, was he the top student in his year last year? By quite a bit. Then I'll be buying his books. And I've already owled him. We're going to meet next week. I'm also thinking of having Kingsley join us for lunch. It feels like forever since I've seen him. Dumbledore chuckled. I'm sure that will be an interesting lunch. Why would you say that? I'm fairly sure that Severus likes Kingsley. Do you know something I don't? No, of course not. I'm sure it will be fine. Mr. Snape, Harry said. How has your holiday been so far? It was fine. Severus didn't meet his eyes. He was more drawn and pale than he usually was at the end of the summer. Too thin by half. And his hair, it looked like it hadn't been washed or cut since the end of last term. Merlin, Severus needed to do something about it before school started. Was it? Harry asked, taking in the patched robe and worn-out shoes. Severus glared at him. Must you do that? What? Harry asked, forcing himself not to glare back. Always doubt me when I say things are fine. It only happens when I think you're lying. Like now. Maybe it's just my business and not yours, Severus snapped. Had they been at school, Harry might have reprimanded him for the tone. But they weren't, and Harry didn't want to get into an argument with him today. Why don't we get your robes first? You don't have to do this every year, you know. But it was clear Severus didn't believe he wouldn't do it anymore. Harry smiled at him. I know I don't, but I want to. Somehow, it will make everything a little easier if you have new robes in the autumn. You sound like a girl. Everything's better with new robes. His tone was mocking. Harry didn't care. I've been told that more than once, but it doesn't make it any less true. That you're a girl? That new robes make things more even. I could go 1 year without. You probably could, if you didn't grow that much. The charms give out after about 18 months, but it's better if you have new ones. So, shall we go? Let's not talk about it anymore. The weather has been unusually nice for August. Harry snickered at Severus's annoyed look. All right, pick another topic. I'm thinking about trying out for the Quidditch team. Harry raised an eyebrow. This from the boy who couldn't care less if he learned to fly a few years ago? I'm just thinking it might be fun. Severus grinned at him, and Harry knew better than to trust that smile. What aren't you telling me? Harry got it. Maybe it will impress the boys, perhaps? I don't care about that. But Severus's face was red, and he was pointedly not looking at Harry. Of course not. Harry caught sight of Kingsley and waved. When he caught up with them, Kingsley gave him a quick kiss. Good to see you, Harry. And Severus, isn't it? Kingsley's smile was wide. Harry shivered a bit, remembering how Kingsley had used his mouth the last time Harry had been with him. Yes, Severus said quietly. I thought we were going to get my robes. We are, but I asked Kingsley to come to lunch with us. You don't mind, do you? Severus looked nonplussed for a moment, but then he shook his head. No, it's fine. Great, Harry said. Let's go. I haven't seen you in the library much the past couple of weeks, Severus said as he came into Harry's office, his book bag on his shoulder. I'm not doing as much research this term, or any at all. Since he decided to commit to this timeline, he wasn't going to continue to hit his head against the wall, trying to find his way back to the other version of this world. No more time travel? I'm still researching it. Severus sat down on the sofa. You don't have to, said Harry. He probably should have told Severus that before he'd had to ask. I'm finding it interesting, but you've decided to stay here? What makes you think I wouldn't? Aside from Dumbledore, he'd never discussed his situation with anyone. And even with Dumbledore, he'd never come out and said anything. And now, there was no point. Severus shrugged, but didn't look at him. I get the feeling that this whole thing was more than an exercise in theory. You wanted it for a purpose. Harry sometimes forgot just how perceptive Severus could be. You're right. There was something I'd lost, and I wanted to find it again. But you don't want to find it anymore? Now I know it's lost beyond hope of finding it. As painful as it was to accept that, Harry was finally ready to do so. He still wasn't sure what to do about the coming paradox, but all he could do was hope that it would take care of itself. I'm sorry. And then he came closer, lowering his voice. I wanted to ask you. Do you think playing Quidditch would impress a boy? It was so hard being 15. Harry didn't laugh. I think people are going to be more impressed with your intelligence than they are with your Quidditch playing skills. Severus snorted. Do you think you could think of something else to say? I don't think the boys my age give a crap about my intelligence. Watch your language, Harry admonished half-heartedly. But you're right, the only time boys will be impressed is if you help them with their homework. Most of the boys I know who need that kind of help are in Gryffindor. And trust me when I tell you that I am not going to date one of them. Severus shivered with his whole body. Should I remind you that Lily is in Gryffindor as well? Like I said, I'm not dating anyone from Gryffindor. Severus shook his head in disgust. But, you know, maybe I could charge them for helping with their homework. That might get me what I want. Harry was horrified by that implication. You wouldn't, though, would you? Severus sighed. No. The only ones that would probably take me up on that would be the Gryffindors. Yes, I've heard. You don't need to trade for dates. I know what I look like. I'm going to need something. That he was right was sad, too. When you were 15, looks counted a great deal. And no matter how smart he was, Severus was never going to be good-looking. Harry wished there was something he could say that would help. Looks aren't everything, and your friends all know that. That's easy for a gorgeous man to say, Severus snapped out. It's always easy for people like you. My life has not been easy, thank you very much. And maybe you need glasses. Harry made a show of pulling them off and holding them out. The thing Severus came up with sometimes. This conversation was already skirting the edge of what Harry considered appropriate. How are your classes this term? You know, I could have gotten whiplash from that subject change. Harry folded his arms over his chest. Well? Severus blew out a breath and pushed the limp hair out of his face. My classes are fine. I thought about taking your class this term, but I couldn't fit it in with arithmancy and ancient runes. You're taking both? I want to get 12 owls. Ambitious, aren't you? Hermione had only gotten 11 and only 10 outstandings. Harry smiled. He could barely remember how many he and Ron had taken, but Hermione had always been so impressive. Damn, he still missed them both. Severus gave him a strange look. I can't decide what I want to do, so I need as many as I can get. I thought you were going to do something with potions, Harry said. Severus was the best potion student to study at Hogwarts in many years. Even Lily didn't come close to his brilliance, and Slughorn was enthusiastic about helping him excel, giving him extra lab time and letting him experiment. There are a million specialties, and I need to find the right one, so I'll stand out at it. I'm sure you're going to shine at whatever you do. Severus's face went red. Still, why 12? Severus looked at him as if he were mad. Because I can.
The cave where Voldemort had hid the locket wasn't any less traumatic the second time Harry encountered it. He and Dumbledore fed Digby, who had volunteered once he knew the circumstances, the contents of the bowl where the locket was submerged. The poor elf was sick for 2 days, but Harry and Dumbledore took care of him, and Digby was quite proud of himself when they let him out of bed. They destroyed the locket with Gryffindor's sword, much as he and Ron had. The Ravenclaw diadem was exactly where Harry thought it would be as well. This time, he hadn't had to rescue Draco Malfoy on his broom, either. Fiendfire worked the second time as well as it had the first. It almost seemed too easy. I'm pretty sure Marvolo's ring has a curse on it, Harry said later that night, after destroying the diadem. Where is it? Dumbledore asked. In the ruins of the Gaunt's house. It's also under some kind of magical protection. Can we retrieve it? We'll need to be very careful. It's my watchword. Dumbledore looked at him sharply. What aren't you telling me? Harry met his eyes. Just be careful, all right? Dumbledore pushed the glasses up onto his nose a bit farther. I'll do that.
The rest of the Horcruxes are going to be more difficult. Harry watched with grim satisfaction as the ring slowly dissolved in a cauldron of acid. I'm pretty sure the diary is at Malfoy Manor. The Hufflepuff cup? In the Lestrange. No, wait. Probably the Black Vault. Bellatrix hasn't married Rodolphus Lestrange yet, has she? She had been out of Hogwarts when Harry started. She's supposed to marry him next summer. But that's still uncertain, as she and Lestrange have had some rather explosive fights in public. Her family is expecting her to marry him, as they've arranged, but she's been fighting it. She's also actively working for Voldemort at the moment. It probably would be easier to get the cup while it's still in the Black Vault. Why do you think that? Have you ever tried to get anything out of Gringotts? Harry didn't even want to think about stealing something from there. He shuddered. Never again. It's possible that Sirius Black might be convinced to help us, Dumbledore said, as if he really considered that an option. Harry did not. He's 15! But, as the heir, he has access to the vault. What part of 15 isn't clear? Besides, I'm not sure we can trust him. Harry did love his godfather with all his heart, but the Sirius Black in this world was enough to drive him mad. I do think he's trustworthy, and we don't have to tell him why we want it. Just ask him to get it and tell no one. As if he's capable of not telling his gang. And it was possible that Peter had already sold them out. He couldn't chance it. I doubt he'd do it. We can ask. You do know this is my office, don't you? Harry asked as he dropped into the chair behind his desk. Severus looked up from his place on the battered leather sofa and smirked. I'd heard that rumor. You don't believe it, though, do you? Harry hid his smile. Encouraging Severus never worked in his favor. The boy was too smart by half. I assumed you would want to see me occasionally now that you're not haunting the library, Severus said, making it sound as if he were doing Harry a favor. Maybe he was. Harry liked having Severus about, challenging him, watching him learn. It was too bad that Severus never took his class. So, you're what? Being generous and making my life better by visiting me? And using my office as your own? 10 points to the professor. I can do that now. Harry laughed at the look on Severus's face. And you love it, don't you? Gryffindor is down 25 points just today. Oh, and it was so clear that Severus was looking forward to taking more. So, what did Mr. Black and Mr. Potter do that prompted the point loss? It might be 2-1, but Severus had no trouble holding his own with them. This year, it was easier for him. You know they never stop. They tried to hex me for some reason. And before you even ask, I have no idea why. Severus's grin was nasty. Despite what he'd said, he had no doubt provoked them. They'll think twice about doing it again. Harry couldn't do anything about Severus without knowing the entire situation, which Severus wasn't going to tell him. You know, Miss Evans is a Gryffindor too. You keep telling me that as if I don't know it already. Besides, that's why it wasn't 30 points. Actually, it was because a prefect can only take 25 house points in a day. For a more serious infraction, they would have to go to a teacher. James and Sirius were not known for the restraint where Severus was concerned. But then, neither was Severus. And they all took grudge-holding to new heights. Miss Evans and Mr. Snape out after curfew yet again? Harry folded his arms over his chest. Care to give me an explanation? I was just talking to Sev, she said. He's walking me back to my dorm right now. Without taking points for being out? Harry raised an eyebrow and waited. 5 points for being out after curfew. Severus gave Lily an apologetic look. I'll just go by myself then. She sighed and took off. The rules need to be applied fairly. Harry remembered how Snape's own unfairness had bred resentment among all the other houses. Severus was shaking his head. The trouble is that they aren't. Not even the teachers are even-handed. All you can do is try to be fair. Harry wished it were that easy, but it had to start somewhere. Why should I? Because you've been given a position of power, and you need to act accordingly, Harry said, knowing he wasn't getting through. Severus frowned. But not everyone does. Someone wise said to me that we are all defined by the choices we make. That's rot. We're defined by our experiences and our lives. What he said was true, but you've got a point too. Severus slipped into his office a few days before the Yule holiday. Harry looked up and smiled at him. What can I do for you, Mr. Snape? I have something I've wanted to tell you for a while. Severus stalked over to his desk. And I want you to hear me out before you say anything. Harry stood and moved over to the chair next to the sofa. He waved Severus to sit beside him. What's the problem? Without looking at Harry, Severus raised his wand and cast a silencing charm and then a door-locking spell. I think it's time for us to be together. That made absolutely no sense. What? What are you talking about? Before Harry got another word out, Severus was in his lap, wrapping his long arms around Harry and then pressing a sloppy wet kiss to Harry's mouth. For a second, Harry was too stunned to move. Then Severus attempted to stick his tongue into Harry's mouth, and it galvanized him into action. He shoved hard with both hands. Severus ended up sprawled on the floor, looking at him with surprise written across his face. Harry stood quickly, wiping his mouth with the back of his hand, and took several breaths. Mr. Snape, that was a completely inappropriate display, Harry said calmly, but his heart was racing so hard it hurt. After a beat or two of strained silence, the hurt started to creep across Severus's pale face. I was trying to show you... I know what you were trying to show me, and you have to know that I can't possibly allow you to do that. Harry kept his voice low and spoke slowly, hoping he'd get through without damaging Severus too badly. He took another breath. Severus was hardly the first student who declared their feelings for him, and previously, Harry had tried to be gentle with them. It was easier to do when they didn't try to kiss him. That required punishment to make sure it didn't happen again, and he'd have to report it to Dumbledore. I know you think you've got feelings for me that go beyond friendship, and I'm sure this seemed like a good way to express them, but it wasn't, and I need you to realize that, Harry said sternly, in his most disappointed teacher tone. I thought you were... Severus made a sound, and then climbed to his feet, staring down at them. I'm sorry, I can't let this go. You have a week's detention with Professor McGonagall when you get back from the holiday, and I want a 10-foot parchment on the proper behavior between a student and a teacher. For a moment, Severus looked like he might want to argue, but whatever sense he had won out and he closed his mouth. Relieved, Harry waved his wand to unlock the door, and the silencing charm fell off. Go now, before this gets any worse. Severus looked at him one last time, tears in his eyes, and ran out. As Harry climbed the stairs to Dumbledore's office, he was shaking with a reaction he hadn't let surface when he was dealing with Severus. What's wrong? Dumbledore opened the door before he could knock. Severus has taken it into his head that he's in love with me. Harry sat down wearily on one of the chairs by the fire and put his head into his hands. You didn't realize this was nearly inevitable? Dumbledore raised an eyebrow.
I never considered the possibility. Why would I? Asked Harry, completely incredulous. He always thought of Severus as different from the rest of the students. Not so much more mature as too clever to fall for a teacher.
Dumbledore chuckled.
You're joking.
No, I can see that you aren't. What did he do?
He jumped onto my lap and tried to kiss me.
What did you do?
Surely Dumbledore didn't think he'd respond in any kind of positive way.
I dumped him on his arse and gave him a week's detention with Minerva.
That's a bit harsh, don't you think? Dumbledore interrupted, his expression losing its amusement.
I also assigned him a 10-foot parchment on the proper conduct between a student and teacher.
Harry supposed it was somewhat harsh. Even with some of the students who tried to kiss him, he'd been a bit more lenient.
The essay would have been enough, I think. All right. Perhaps his reaction was a bit out of proportion to the crime. But Harry had expected better of Severus than this.
I was very angry.
Why are you so angry?
There wasn't a reason to be this upset about the incident. I didn't expect this from him. Or maybe I hoped he wouldn't have these kinds of feelings for me because we were friends.
He's 15. You know all children that age seethe with passion and emotion. It doesn't surprise me at all. What does surprise me, though, is your reaction.
Dumbledore met his eyes.
Tell me why you've reacted so strongly.
Harry had no idea. When Severus had kissed him, it had struck him as so wrong that he couldn't even think straight. It had been all he could do to stay calm with Severus. He took another deep breath, and his stomach finally started to settle.
I shouldn't have been so hard on him. I'm sure that I hurt him badly, and now I'll need to make amends.
I suspect few people have more ability to hurt him than you do, but perhaps you should wait until he returns from holiday.
Harry stood. By then, he will be inured to anything I say.
Now, his temper may get the better of him, and you'll have to punish him again.
He had a point. Severus did not understand the meaning of the word restraint.
At least I'll be able to apologize for overreacting.
Dumbledore shook his head. Do as you think best.
That was the problem with Severus. Harry was never sure what would be the best for him.
Harry opened the door to the Gryffindor common room and scanned the people.
Miss Evans, a word if you please.
Hey, Evans, what did you do? James called as she followed Harry through the door and down the corridor.
Her glare was just this side of acceptable, but she said nothing.
Where is Mr. Snape?
Harry hated being put in this position, but he'd failed to locate Severus in either the library or the Ravenclaw common room.
She folded her arms over her chest.
I don't know.
And of course, Lily was going to make this as difficult as she possibly could.
Harry gritted his teeth.
I know he's annoyed at me.
A bit more than that, don't you think?
Her eyes flashed with her own annoyance. And I'm not going to discuss him with you. Now, if you know where he is, I suggest you tell me.
He folded his arms over his chest and glared back at the girl.
She just stared right back, no doubt thinking she had the advantage. Fortunately, she wasn't a Slytherin, or he'd paid dearly for the knowledge he wanted.
So you can hurt him again? She finally said.
Miss Evans, now please.
He put the force of his best disapproving teacher tone in the order. Even the most stalwart Gryffindors generally couldn't stand against it.
She sighed. I really don't know.
He ground his teeth.
Bloody stubborn, loyal Gryffindor. If he weren't so annoyed with her, he'd find it laudable.
Miss Evans.
Seriously, I told him not to tell me. He just wanted to be alone. Harry pinched the bridge of his nose with two fingers. Do you have any guesses? She glared at him again and then dropped her eyes as he glared back. He could still out-stubborn any student alive. I just don't want to see him hurt again, okay? She whispered. Harry couldn't answer her, so he just waited. Try by the lake. There's a little alcove where it meets the Forbidden Forest. There's some rocks that sort of create a little hiding place. He likes to sit there sometimes. Thank you, Harry said, and waited until she went back into the common room before he hurried away. Even with the moon shining on the lake, there wasn't much light. Harry heard a soft, muffled sound before he found Severus. He had cast a silencing charm on his shoes so that Severus wouldn't hear him and run, but it clearly hadn't been necessary. Are you plotting your revenge? Harry asked tentatively. You can be sure of that. Severus's cheeks were wet and his voice was hoarse. Did you come to give me another detention? It all made Harry feel worse, which, knowing Severus, it was probably designed to do. I've already done that, haven't I? I don't want to hurt you. Really? Do you always react so severely to people telling you they care about you? It's a wonder that you managed any relationships at all. Severus's voice cracked. You didn't just tell me, though, did you? You showed me, and in a fairly inappropriate way. Even now, it still felt so wrong to even think about Severus crawling onto his lap. I'm sorry. I just thought... Never mind. Severus turned his face away. Harry cleared his throat. He'd never doubted his mentor/teaching status. Never considered Severus would misread him so badly. I know you thought I felt differently for you than I do. That would be an understatement. I thought you cared for me. His voice was brokenhearted. Harry was lost. You have to understand. There can never be anything between us. Not like that, at least. Why not? I thought you didn't care what I look like. What you look like doesn't matter to me. I think of you as a good friend. Okay, so maybe a good friend was pushing it, but he didn't want to hurt Severus more than he'd already done. But you're 15, and forgive me for saying so, but you're very young yet. There will be other and better people for you than me. What? What are you talking about? Severus stood up. He was almost as tall as Harry now. Don't you know that you're the best thing that ever happened to me? I can't imagine what my life would have been like in my mother's patched Slytherin robes. Knowing what would have happened to Severus without his intervention, Harry couldn't regret that it hadn't unfolded that way. Other good things are going to come your way. I promise you that. Maybe, but without you... they won't be as good. Harry wanted to smile at the drama in Severus's tone, but that would no doubt exasperate an already bad situation. Right now, this is completely inappropriate. I could lose my job if someone found out. Severus's eyes widened. Clearly, he hadn't considered that. No, they wouldn't! What do you think they'd do to teachers who abuse their students? Harry folded his arms over his chest. It wouldn't be abuse if I said yes. You're not old enough to give consent. And there was a special place in hell for any adult who took advantage of someone that young. A little smile appeared in Severus's face. I will be in a few weeks. The age of consent might be 16, but in the case of someone in position of trust, it was actually the legal age of 17. But it didn't matter either way. I'm sorry. You are dear to me, but not as a lover. Never like that. Severus's shoulders slumped. Never? Harry wanted to say never to extinguish that little bit of hope in Severus's eyes, but he couldn't bring himself to do it. I can't say what the future will bring, but I can assure you that whatever comes, nothing will happen while you're still at school. I'll make you eat those words one day. I promise you that. Severus threatened in a tone that sent a shiver of dread down Harry's spine. Don't try until after you leave school, or this will pale in comparison to what I'll do if you try this again. He could not live through another scene like this one anytime soon. Fair enough. Severus started to walk away, but then he turned back. About the week's detention? He rarely retracted a punishment, but this one hadn't been fair. All right, I guess I was a little harsh. And the essay? Severus asked, clearly hoping for a complete reprieve. That wasn't going to happen. Harry wanted to teach him a lesson about thinking before he acted. 12 feet by the end of the holiday, or I'll reinstate the detentions. What? Severus squawked, outraged. It was only 10 before. It grew. Don't argue, or it might grow more. Harry laughed at his horrified expression. So, what do we have here? Harry said, looking down at Regulus Black and Severus in a tangle of clothes and sweat and cum. He bit back a sigh. This was hardly the first time he'd caught them together since the beginning of the winter term. It was starting to get annoying. 20 points from each of you for inappropriate actions and dress, or lack thereof. Now get dressed and go back to your common rooms. They both dressed in silence as Harry glared at them. Severus's cheeks were red, but Regulus didn't seem to care. He sauntered off with a wave at Severus. A prefect should be better behaved, Harry said, when Severus hadn't moved. It's none of your business. His tone said Harry shouldn't have bothered to interrupt them. Oh, but it is, Mr. Snape. I'm a teacher at this school, and I can't condone this kind of behavior in public. You should know better, or at least know not to get caught. Is it that you care so much about what I'm doing, or that I'm doing it with a Death Eater? Severus scowled, his eyes flashing with fire. I think you can answer that question yourself. I don't want to see you follow that path. Harry sincerely wished that Severus would listen to him about Regulus, but he tried talking to him until he was blue in the face, to no avail. Why not? They would appreciate me. It sounded as if Severus believed their promises. It hurt Harry to see him go so wrong, to actually believe that crap. They will use you for their own gain, and you're smart enough to know it. It's not as if you don't have many other, better options. I like Reg. Severus looked down, his cheeks red. I'm not saying don't see him. I'm saying think about everything else. You think that I don't? It doesn't look like it. Harry waved a hand at the nest of blankets. Go to bed. It's late. And you and I both have classes in the morning. Once again, the end of the year seemed to sneak up on Harry. He could have sworn it was April, but the bright sunshine and the warm weather said something different. Late in the afternoon on one of the last days of fifth year Owls, he glanced out the window towards the lake and saw several groups of students all hanging out in the bright sunshine. James, Sirius, Remus, and Peter were all together, and Severus was sitting under a tree not far away. A memory clicked into his mind, and Harry raced down the stairs and across the lawn. The scene was unfolding, just as he'd seen it in Snape's pensive all those years ago. He stopped for a moment, breathing hard. James shouted, "Expelliarmus!" Severus's wand flew away from him, and Sirius let out a bark of laughter. "Impedimenta!" he said, pointing his wand at Snape, who was knocked off his feet halfway through a dive towards the fallen wand. Students all around turned to watch. Some of them had got to their feet and were edging nearer. Some looked apprehensive, others entertained. Snape lay on the ground, panting. James and Sirius advanced on him, wands raised.
"How'd the exams go, snivelly?" said James.
"I was watching him. His nose was touching the parchment," said Sirius. "There's going to be great grease marks all over it. They won't be able to read a word." A couple of people watching laughed at that, most of them looking stunned by what was going on, like they weren't sure what to do. The Jinx was still operating on Severus. He was struggling as though bound by invisible ropes.
"You are such an idiot," he panted, staring up at James with an expression of the purest loathing. "I'm going to get you for this. You wait."
"Wait for what?" said Sirius coolly. "What are you going to do, Snevely? Wipe your nose on us?" Severus swore colorfully. "Are you so stupid that you'd hex a prefect with witnesses?"
"I think they want to see you put in your greasy place," Sirius sneered.
"Leave him alone!" Lily yelled, running over from the lake. Two other Ravenclaw girls came with her.
"All right, Evans," said James, and his voice was suddenly pleasant.
"Leave him alone," Lily repeated. She was looking at James with annoyance in her eyes. "What's he done to you?"
"Well," said James, appearing to deliberate the point, "it's more the fact that he exists, if you know what I mean."
A couple of the students laughed nervously.
"Maybe you'd better let him up, Potter," Billings, one of the older Ravenclaw boys, said. There was a hint of authority in his tone. "You'll buy yourself a world of trouble if you don't."
Sirius snorted, but James looked around. The crowd was not as amused with his antics as he had assumed they would be. The jinx had worn off Severus, and he got hold of his wand, but he hesitated a second.
"Expelliarmus!"
He caught James' wand as it flew to him.
"Petrificus Totalus!"
James fell over. Sirius raised his wand to hex Severus.
"I wouldn't do that if I were you, Mr. Black," Harry said, stepping close to Sirius. This had gone on long enough. If looks could have killed, Harry would have been dead, but Sirius lowered his wand.
"You as well, Mr. Snape."
Severus's look was mutinous.
"Do I have to?"
"Yes, and let him go too."
"Only because you asked."
He flicked his wand at James. "Finite incantatum."
James breathed a sigh of relief and jumped to his feet.
"My wand?"
"I'm not sure I should give."
Harry glared at Severus, and he silently handed back the wand.
"Are you okay?" Lily asked Severus.
"I'm fine. I suspect that if Billings hadn't stepped in, things might have got very interesting."
It was clear by his tone that he knew from experience that he'd been looking forward to the fight. If he'd known how it could have turned out, Harry was sure he'd have reconsidered that.
"Mr. Lupin, can you tell me why you allowed a fellow prefect to be assaulted?" Harry asked. It had always bothered him that Remus had done nothing to help Snape.
Remus looked up, guilt written on his face.
"I was reading."
10 points from Gryffindor," Harry said, and started to walk away. Really, Remus deserved a detention. Severus caught up with him.
"Why did you let Billings step in first? I mean, you were there long enough to stop it from the beginning."
Now that the crisis had been averted, Harry was glad to let the old memory die.
"Billings broke James's concentration on you, and that was good enough. I wouldn't have let him hurt you, if that's what you're worried about."
"He wouldn't have. Too many witnesses. He's not subtle or smart." It was a different situation, wasn't it? Severus wasn't the outcast he'd been in Harry's past. James might or might not have done the same thing, but the results would have been different. "No, he's not," Harry said. "But he could have done you some damage before anyone would have noticed. I would have got even with him for anything he did."